The next year, Parshios Netzavim Ve'Yelech. There's a cute remez, say, from the final Parshios in the Torah, Netzavim Ve'Yelech, Hazinu Ve'Zos Abracha. Last four Parshios, there's a Eitzah to Shalom Bais. How so? Netzavim means to stand. So if a person stands on principle, he's Netzavim, then Ve'Yelech. Goes to Beis Din, goes to the Rabbanut, goes to the Get Gerishin, right? Netzavim then Ve'Yelech. But Hazinu, if he listens to his spouse, if he lends an ear, then Zosa Bracha, that brings Bracha. Yeah, Parsha starts off, Atem Netzavim Ayom Kulchem Lifnei Hashem Elokeichem. So the Grab brings a remez here. Atem Netzavim Hayom. Hayom can be broken up to Hey Yom, 5 days. There's 5 days in the year that we have Din, which are coming up. We have 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. We have Yom Kippur. We have Hoshana Rabbah, which is the end of the Chitum of the Din. And finally, Shemini Atzeres, Simchas Torah. That's when the Takim are given over to the Shluchim to do what they, where the Din was. So we have these 5 days of Din. And therefore, as a hint to it here, says the Gra, Atem Nitzavim, you're standing in Din, Hayom, the Heyom, Lifnei Hashem Elokeicha, Lifnei Hashem. You're standing in front of Hashem, these are the 5 days of Din, Heyom, Hayom. Pasuk says, Pasuk Yud, next Pasuk, Tabchem Nishechem Begircha Asher Bekerv Machanecha, Mechote Veitzecha Ad Shoev Meimecha. So they ask, Pasha, the question. Normally, when you see this type of a lashon, mi ad means from this until this, right? It means that you want to include a large group of people. So you want to say like everybody, you know, from the richest to the poorest, you know, to two extremes. That's when you use the lashon mi from this ad this. We see it in the, also in the Chumash. We have it says, Mi Bechor Paro Yoshev Al Kiso. We know by Machas Bechor is from the Bechor that's the most chashev Al Kise, the chair of Paro. Ad Bechor Hashivcha Asher Achar Eichaim. So, Mi Ad always goes to the extreme, from the greatest to the lowest, right? So, yes, what's going on over here? Right? Everybody's Nitzavim Ayom Kochem. Who? Mi chote veitzecha, from the woodchopper until the water carrier. They say they're both sitting in the back row in shul, these guys. You know, like, what's that? That's the two extremes, a woodcutter and a water carrier. They're the same. That's why does it say mi chotev ad shoev? So one idea is that the Torah doesn't give cheshivas to, you know, who has more money and, you know, who's rich. No, what does the Torah give cheshivas to? The Torah gives cheshivas to who gives or donates to society. Memele, a chotev veitzecha, what does he do? He destroys. He's knocking down the bria, right? He's knocking down the bria. He's destroying. Whereas shoev meimecha lafech, he's bringing up the water. He's doing good for bria. So Meila, we do have the two extremes. From destroying the Bria, Mechote Veitzecha, the woodcutter, to Shoev Meimecha, to the one providing the water. Tekehilas Yitzchak brings a nice remez. There's a chazal that says, Acharei Ari Velo Acharei Isha. Okay, meaning, simple pshat is that it's literally, it's better to walk behind a lion than it is behind a woman. Okay, again, simple pshat is because a lion might be dangerous, you know, physically, of course, but walking behind a woman is dangerous spiritually, yeruhurim, etc. So therefore, acharei ari is better to walk behind a lion than behind a woman. However, I say a nice remez that for the mitzvah of tshuva, and that is the month of Av. Every month has their mazels, right? So the muzzle of Chodesh Av is Ari, is a lion. And the muzzle of Elul is a Besula, like a woman. So Mele, there's a hint, Acharei Ari Velo Acharei Isha, means when should a person wake up to do tshuva? Acharei Ari, Acharei Av, Acharei Chodesh Av, which is Elul. That's when a person should wake up to do tshuva. V'lo acharei isha. What's an isha? That's Elul. What's acharei isha? Tishrei. So don't wake up to do tshuva only when it's Tishrei time. Acharei Ari, after the Chodesh Av, wake up to do tshuva, which is Elul, not acharei the isha, which is after Elul, which is Tishrei. It's too late already. So similarly, it says that Gemara brings out it on Tu B'Av was one of the happiest days in the calendar. So what was one of the things special about Tu B'Av? It says that's when they stopped cutting down the wood for the maracha, for the mizbeach. Right, they would chop down the wood and they would stop cutting the wood on Tu B'Av. Okay, on Hoshana Rabbah and Shmini Atzeres, etc. That's when we daven for rain. So Mele, there's a hint to over here, the time of tshuva. That when is the time of tshuva? Mei chotei veitzecha, which is Tu B'Av, ad shoev meimecha, until Shoshana Rabbah, Shmini Atzeres, which is the water. From chotei veitzecha, from Tu B'Av, until the water, which is Shoshana Rabbah. And therefore, atem nitzavim hayom, when are nitzavim hayom? When is it? It's from Mechotei Veitzecha Tu B'Av until Ad Shoev Meimecha Ad Shana Rabbah. So there's the Mi'ad, the from and the to, is these two dates. It says in the Pasuk Tet Zayin, Vatiru Es Shikutzehem Es Giluleihem, you'll see their abominations and their testable idols and things, Eitz Ve'Evin, stone, wood, stone, kesev, zahav, asher imechem, that's with you. So Yankov Galinsky, Shlita, he says that there's a hint to the idea when a person comes to a place that's people there are bad. So what happens? The first thing in reaction is, oh, gross! These people are terrible. How can you be like that? Meaning, that's the first thing, with Tiruat Shikutseyem, Gilulehem, that's the, disgusting abomination, this is terrible. However, you stick around a little bit, you start getting used to it. Then it turns into Eitz Ve'Evin. Now all of a sudden it's not Shikutseyem, Gilulehem, it turns it already to wood and rocks, okay, not so terrible. And you stay there a couple of years already, then it turns into Kesev Ezahav, Hashemim. Then it turns into, now it's not only not so bad anymore, it's Kesev Ezahav, it's wonderful. As a person gets unfortunately used to bad matzavim. So on the topic of idols, cute Maisa, the Ben Ish Chai brings down that there was once a guy in Spain that he was having trouble making ends meet. He was very poor, and it was soon to be Pesach. And of course, Pesach comes along, a lot of expenses, matzah, wine, etc. And he didn't have money. He didn't have money for the chag. So he got to such a matzah. He said, "That's it." He says he wants to commit suicide. But he says, he knows how can he do that? Hang himself. And so he figured, instead of doing that, he'll do something which will cause him to be killed. He won't have to kill himself. So he decided he was going to go out into the desert or whatever, where there's a forest, where there's thieves and rob. Well, they'll come and they'll kill him, and then good, put an end to all of this. So he's walking to the towards to the forest quite a way, and as he's still in the city, he sees a church, a big huge mosque, whatever, big church, and he thought to himself, you know what? I have a good idea. Why have to schlep all the way to the forest for? I'll walk into the church. They'll say, "Hey, what are you doing here?" Whatever, and they'll kill me. So good. Don't have to go all the way to the forest. Fine. So he walks in. Quiet. Nobody's there. He's looking around, left, right. Quiet. That's strange. So he looks into this the main sanctuary, whatever, where they have their main idol standing there, and on a special pedestal, whatever, his idol. It's a beautifully decorated room, marble and gold and silver, everything. And he sees this beautiful, beautiful, solid gold like chandelier, right, in this in front of the idol. So again, he's quiet; doesn't see anybody right now. So he says, "You know what? I have an idea. I'll, take this solid gold chandelier, you know, I'll do plenty for the chag, and plus, you know, I'll be a rich man, and manavshach, right? If they catch me, they kill me, that's what I want to do anyways, right? If they don't, yofi, wonderful, I got myself. So he takes a ladder there, whatever, he puts it there, climbs up, disattaches the thing, takes it down, still nobody's around, walks out of the church, nobody sees, nobody does, great, comes home, wonderful, nobody saw anything. So he takes the gold and he melts, has it melted down into gold bars or whatever, and takes one of them to the makola, and you know, he's got himself a nice chag, wonderful. However, it wasn't too long before they, priest, the head priest or whatever, comes down and he's into the sanctuary. He sees the, you know, his ladder, you know, in front of the chandelier. The chandelier is missing, the solid gold chandelier. So, of course, who do they blame? As always, the yin. Must be, Goy's not going to take a chandelier from front of their god, you know, the idol there. Must be a Jew. So, he calls in the Rav of the town. He says, we're sure it must have been a Jew, and that's it. If we don't find out who did it, we're going to kill every Jew in the town. So the Rav, you know, Skoveya Yom Tzom, you know, and Fila and this and that. So everybody's crying. So the guy, the Yid that, you know, took it, he goes over to the Rabbi. He says, Rabbi, what's the commotion about? He goes, well, you didn't hear that the chandelier was taken, a thing, and there now is a gzera against the. He goes, oh, that's the problem? He goes, yeah. So he says, it's no problem. He goes, what do you mean no problem? They're going to kill us. He goes, no. I took it. I took it. What's the problem? He goes, you took it? He goes, yeah. He goes, oh, so now what? He says, not a problem. He says, I'll go and I'll tell them I took it. It's okay. You know, he says, don't worry, the community doesn't have to worry. So he says, really? He goes, yeah. He goes, okay, wonderful. So the Yid goes to the priest or whatever, and he's there with all his, you know, bishops and all these guys, right? And he comes in and he says, yeah, what do you want, Yid? So he says, well, I'm here to admit that I took it. He says, what? He says, yeah, I took the chandelier. He says, you took it? He goes, yeah. He says, you're just trying to save your fellow Jew. He goes, no. If you can, I'll show you. Go under my bed, you'll see a whole bunch of gold pieces, you know, that I melted it down. I took it. He says, you took it. Okay, that's it. We're going to bring you, you know, the court, you know, and we're going to be sentenced to death, you know, hanging in the city center, whatever. So he says, okay, but before you do that, can I just explain to you exactly what happened here? So they said, okay, sure, you want to explain, go ahead. So he says, okay, I'll tell you what happened. He says, I'm a poor man. Our holiday's coming up. I don't have money for the holiday, and I was such a bad, you know, situation. I wanted to kill myself. So I was about to, you know, walk out the forest, you know, to get killed, whatever. And then I saw the church here open, and so I walk in and I see this idol, whatever, there. And I thought to myself, you know what? Why not try? You know, my God, you know, didn't listen to me, so maybe I'll try, you know, their God. You know, it's, you know, it seems to work for them, for the goyim. So I figured, you know, might as well. Anyway, so I go into the sanctuary there with, you know, this big idol there. You know? So I go in there, and I was just so overcome by the emotion, I just started crying. I started crying and crying and crying. And all of a sudden, the idol says to me, my son, why are you crying? So I said to the idol, well, I have no money and this, so I'm going to... Oh. She says, that's your problem? He says, no, don't cry, my son. Everything's okay. He says, why? I told him, I have no money. He says, no problem. You see this chandelier up here? Solid gold. Here, take it. It's yours. Right? Melt it down, you'll have gold, you'll be fine. So I couldn't believe it. Such a fine idol, so nice. He said I couldn't move. I was just so overcome by emotion. So he himself said, okay, don't worry. And he took the ladder, climbed up, took the chandelier down, and gave it to me. He says, here, gay, gesinnte, hi. So I took this chandelier and I went. So he said, that's the story. So now do it to me what you want. I mean, that's, God gave it to me, you know, do it to me what you want. So all of a sudden the priest turns to his, you know, fellow, and he's like, we got to talk for a second. Just a second. Now, what do we do now? Like, if we tell them, you liar, idols don't speak, they don't climb up ladders, they can't do these, they can't do this. So, like, you know, that doesn't look too good, you know. So he turns to the guy and goes, okay, if that's what the idol said, fine, it's yours, you know, okay, you're off the hook, goodbye. So the Ben Ish Chai said, he's on the Pasuk, we say in Hallel, and in Lolanu, he said, Pelehem lo yedaberu, you know, the idols, they have mouths, they don't speak. Einayim lehem lo yiru, they have eyes, they don't see. Aznayim lehem lo yishmao, they have ears, they don't hear. Af lehem lo yiruchun, they have noses, they don't smell. Yedeim lo mishun, they have hands that can't feel. Ragleim lo lechu, and they have legs that can't walk. Lo yegubi gronam, they can't speak. Kumoem yuaseyem, kol asher bateach mehem. So the simple pshat is that we're giving like a curse, you know, that's how the ones that serve them should be like. Kemohem, like that, like the idols, you Oseim, should be the, that's what should be happening to the ones that make them. But the Ben Ish Chai says, no, it's more than that. He says, Kemohem Oseim, that's what they're going to be like. The people that make them, they're going to be speechless, you know, not what to say. They're going to be like, as we saw in the story. Okay, let us continue. Famous pasuk in Perek Lamed, pasuk Yud Beis. It says, "Lo b'shamayim hi." The Torah is "Lo b'shamayim hi le'mor mi elanu shamayim avikachel lanu." It's not in Shemayim that we have to say, "Hey, who's going to go up in Shemayim and take it down for us?" Right? It's in Shemayim. So, there's a famous story from with Rav Zelmala Mivalajin. That once he was a weak older man, and he was learning, and he needed a certain sefer, and it was behind this bookcase, a very very heavy bookcase. It was behind this bookcase, so he wanted to get the sefer, but he couldn't budge this huge bookcase, so he didn't know what to do. So he kept pacing back and forth, and saying that, oh, lo b'shamayim hi, as Chazal say, that let's learn out that lo b'shamayim means that the Torah is not in Shemayim. But if it would be in Shemayim, then we would have to get it. He kept repeating this over and over again, as if to say that the Maisa Torah is not in Shemayim, but if it would be, we would have to get it. It means a person has to do anything and everything he can to get the Torah. And he kept saying it over and over again until he went up to the bookcase and single-handedly, he moved the bookcase away and was able to get that sefer. So on the the pasuk lo b'shamayim hi v'lo v'rmei v'lo yam hi. So the Gemara says in Erevin, daf nun hey, I think it says Rabbi Yochanan said lo b'shamayim hi means lo timtza v'gase ruach. So you can't, you will not find the Torah by b'shamayim means up high by somebody who's haughty. And v'lo me'ever layam hi, says the Gemara, v'lo timtza lo besacharanim v'lo betagarim. You won't find it by socharim, like merchants. Okay, meaning that the person is a merchant, he won't find the Torah there. He's busy working, he's not going to become a Talmud Chacham. So they ask, is that really true? Well, we've seen in their history, there's plenty of rabbanim that are also had businesses on the side. Now, how could it say that the lo besacharanim, you know, will not find the Torah by merchants? It's not really true. So the Admor Misadigora says like this. He explains based on the Gemara that's on the pasuk that says ki tireh chamor sonacha rovetz tachat maso. Right, if you see the donkey of your enemy that is rovetz, it's kneeling down because of its load, so you have to help him, like prika, take that off and help your friend, help your enemy in this case. Okay, but the Gemara Chazal point out that it's only if the chamor is rovetz v'lo ravtzan, meaning if it happens to be kneeling down because it weighed one time, so then you help it. But if the animal is a lazy animal and it's a rough son, meaning he's always kneeling down, it's a lazy animal, so then you don't have to help it, because that's just you don't have to help it. This animal's constantly lying down, right? Only an animal happens to lie down because it's low, so then you help him. If it's a lazy animal, it's a rough son, so you don't have to help him anymore. So we see that, how do you describe a rovetz is an animal that kneels down, a rough son is one that's constantly kneeling down. It's a lazy animal. So we see the nun sofit at the end of the word, right? Ravetz Ravtsan, the nun, it represents constant, always does it. Ah, Mimele, he says that's the pshat over here. It says that you won't find the Torah, lo be'er liyami, lo timtza, lo besacharanim. Right? A sachran. It doesn't say besocharim, it's sachran, sachranim. Right? A socher, you could find the Torah by, meaning somebody does business here and there, whatever, to make ends meet, you know. He can be a Talmud Chacham. But a sachran is someone who constantly does business. Someone whose whole essence is business, he's a sachran, then you're not going to find the Torah by such a person. And this uncertain Rav Levinstein, he says that it's fine by the same thing by Chodesh Nisan. It's also, right? It's Nisan is Nes with the Nun at the end. Again, the Nun Sofi. We said Nun Sofi is like constant. So that's a Chodesh Nisan is a Chodesh. It doesn't happen to be a Nes. It's a month which is full of Nisim. So it's Nisan with the Nun Sofi at the end. Okay, it says Pasuk in Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Beis, or in Parshas Vayelech, so V'yomer Alehen B'meya V'esrim Shana Nochi Ayom, Moshe said. Lo'uchal Od L'tzeis V'lavo. So there's a hint here, but it says Rav Shalom Mikomarna, the how to act neged the Yetzer Hara. Right? The Yetzer Hara wants a person to do an Avera. So a person should say, the person should say he doesn't know when he's going to die, right? Who knows, right? No contract to know how long the person's going to live, and therefore, who knows? Maybe this is his last day. Maybe he's going to live another day or two, right? So therefore, he says, why should I now get messed up? Now I should do this avera when I'm just going to live another day or two. It's not worth it for me. And therefore, ben meya. Right, a person should say Ben Meya. I'm like Ben Meya. I'm like 100 years old. Meaning, it's like 100 year old can go any day. So too, who knows? Can go any day. I'm like Ben Meya. However, when a person wants to do a mitzvah, then it's Vesrim Shana. Then he should look at himself like a young man and do it Bezrizus. So the Ben Meya Vesrim, it sends up as a Ben Meya is how you look when the Yetzer Hara wants you to do the Avera. He said, who knows, I'm like a 100-year-old man, who knows. Well, not worth to do the Avera now if I'm going to go any day. But when it comes to a mitzvah, Esrim, then you should act like a young man. Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Ted Zayin, it says, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Hincha Shochev im Avosecha. You're going to die now. The Kam Ha'amazev is Anachar Elohei Nechar Haaretz. And this Am is going to get up literally, and they're going to go after the Avodah Zarah. So the Chasam Sofer says that we know that the Achai, the Lashon of somebody who's alive, Chai is someone who's a Holech. Okay, he's something that moves. That's a living person. The Malachim, they are called Omdim because they can't do mitzvahs anymore. They don't do mitzvahs, so they're stagnant. So they're called an Omed, right? Somebody living, he's a Holech. He's moving, constantly moving, doing more and more mitzvahs. Whereas a Malach is an Omed. And so too, somebody who is dead, who's dead, he's also like he's an Omed because again, he can't do mitzvahs anymore. However, if he's either a teacher, or that he has students, or that are carrying on in his ways, or he's a father, or that he has children carrying on in his ways, so then, even after his death, he's a holich. Right? That says that the tzaddikim, even they have no menucha, even after they die. They're constantly moving, they're constantly holchim. Right? Because they get credit for all the talmidim that are doing mitzvahs and thing because of them, or the child that's doing mitzvahs because their father was mechanetham, so the father gets a constant moving if he has, children that are good or talmidim, etc. So Mele says, so too had Moshe Rabbeinu. Like Moshe Rabbeinu is a teacher of Klal Yisrael. So even though normally I'd say a dead person is an omed, but no, he can be holech, right? Since he has all the Klal Yisrael that are doing mitzvahs because of him, etc. However, if he's not going to, the people are not going to do the mitzvahs, okay, then what's going to happen? Then Moshe is going to be what? An omed. Mele, that's what hints do over in the pasuk. It says you're going to die, vikam, and you're going to be, get up, I mean you're going to be stagnant. You're not going to be a holy, you're going to be an omed, vikam. When will you be an omed? when ha'amazeh zanachre Elohei necha haaretz. If they go after avodah zara, then you're not going to be a holech in olam haba. You're going to be a kump. You're going to be just stagnant. Because the Klal Yisrael are going after avodah zara, so you're not going to get credit for that. Mela, you're not going to be a holech anymore. You're going to be vakam. I'd like to end off with one last idea, not on the parsha, rather on Chodesh Elul. Saw a very nice thing from the Leket Yosher. He's a Talmud of Truma Sedeshin. Points out that we find in Parshas Shlach Lecha, when Moshe sent the spies, it says Shlach Lecha Anashim v'yaturu es Eretz Kanan. The Lashon of a yaturu means to spy out, like to search out. The Targum Unkelis, Targum Shlach Lach Guvrin, send Anashim, Shlach Lecha Anashim, and he's metargim v'yaturu et Eretz Kanan v'yaturu v'alulun yasara dechnan. So it's interesting, the word to search, spy out, search, whatever, v'yaturu is v'yalulun, lashon elul. Right? Elul is a lashon of spying out. So Rav David Hillel says, interesting word, says, by the brothers of Yosef, when they left Mitzrayim, and Yosef planted his gviya, his cup, inside one of the Binyamin sack, and when he sent his messenger to search the sacks, so it says v'yechapes begadol echel bakaton kila. So they searched out, beginning from the oldest brother until the youngest brother, and they found in Binyamin sack. So there also we have a lashon of to search v'yechapes. He searched out, and there the lashon of the tirgum is uvlash. Right, a bolesh in Hebrew is somebody who's like an investigator, right? He searches. So it's a different word, right? Even though they're both searching, right? V'yasuru, they're searching out Eretz Yisrael, spying out Eretz Yisrael, right? There the lashon is different. There's v'yalulun. Whereas over here, by searching the sacks to find the goblet, it uses additional different lashon of v'lash. Why the difference? So he says the difference is as follows. Yosef knew exactly what the goblet looked like, what was missing, where it was, right? The guy that was looking for it didn't know where it was, but he knew what it was. He knew what it was a goblet. Where it was, he didn't know. So there the lashon of a blush. But by the spies, when they went to Eretz Yisrael, it was the opposite. Okay, they knew where Eretz Yisrael was, right over here, right? It went there. But they didn't know what it was, the opposite. They didn't know what is it, Shmeinahim, Razah, is it fat, is it lean, is it good, is it bad, they didn't know what it was. So when you're searching out to find where, uses Velash, when you're looking to find out what, so then use the Lashon of Vialun, Lashon Elul. So Mele, the Chodesh Elul, it's no coincidence, it's called Chodesh Elul, which we said is when you're searching, not that where, right? You know where. You're searching what. So too, in Elul, we know where we are. We know where we're holding. We know we're on this level, not that level. We should be at higher levels. Where we are, that we know. Therefore, it's not a Lashon of blush. It's Lashon of Yalulun, Elul, which is to search out, knowing where we are, but not the what. Knows what are we? Why are we like this? Why are we holding on this? We should be holding in a higher level, etc. So it's the search to find out the what. That's the lashon of Elul, as we find by the spies. So at Hashem, we should use this month positively, as the lashon of Elul is to search out, search our ways, and do tshuva shlema. So we should come in clean to the Yom HaDin, and we should all have a positive din to be signed and sealed in the Sifron Shel Tzadikim Gemurim, Aksivet Slimatov, Alanu L'chol Yisrael, Ad Bias Mishiach Tzidkenu, Bimheru V'yameinu, Amen.